Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. My thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And sitting across the table from me is a guy I've known so long, it's amazing. But his name is Wayne Wingate. He's been very, very involved in the community for a number of years. And one of the things that he introduced me and others to is a thing called Manor House. And he is a board member of that. And we're here today to talk all about Manor House. But before we talk about Manor House, let's talk about Wayne Wingate. For those who are so new to our community, who have not had the privilege of meeting you, is that deep enough?
Yeah, that's deep enough. Yeah. My wife and I both were born and raised in Rock Hill. 3 years ago, we moved to Simpsonville to be near our son and our daughter, who lives in Atlanta. So, been away about 3 years. Most of the people that I knew when I was here are dead now. So I've gotten so old.
Isn't that nice?
I get the Herald online, first thing I look at is the obituaries, and I've been probably looking to see mine any day now. But come back to Rock Hill whenever we can, at least once or twice a month. We get back over here, and anytime I'm here, I'm just happy as a pig in slop. I'm telling you, this is the greatest place in the world. If anybody who lives here and doesn't know that needs to realize it. I'm so sick. I'm not here with all of the great things that are going on here in Rock Hill, including Manor House. I just lament that I can't be there every day to help, because it's such a great, fabulous ministry.
Can you believe, just a little sidebar here, all the development that is happening here in Rock Hill?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think the people in Simpsonville are sick of hearing me talk about it, I worked downtown in high school at the Family Bootery and the shoe store. And so I've seen downtown evolve from, what it was back in the 60s to a covered quasi mall to an empty main street after it was torn down, to now just a booming area. It's so great. It's this is how I am about Rock Hill. Literally, I dreamed about it last night. And about the old Herald building being renovated and changed, and how pretty it looked. But now, what they're doing on the Good Motor site is.
Did you drive by there today?
Last couple of weeks ago I did, and the fence was around it.
Go drive by today, okay, before you leave. All right?
Yeah.
It is something to see.
No. And of course, in the Bleachery site. My daddy worked at the Bleachery up until the strike in 56. And to see what's going on there, it's just so exciting. And I have to tell you something, though. When they started talking about widening White Street, my grandpappy is buried right there in Lawwood, right at the edge of White Street. And I asked Doug Ackles, I said, Doug, you going to dig up my grandpappy? And he said, no, we're not going to dig anybody up. But, what they've got now there with the Family Trust Building and the Sports Center. I got to shut up. I could go on in the Panthers, what they're doing. It's just I wish I were 35 years old now living in Rock Hill, because the future is just phenomenal here.
Well, as you're driving, see the Good Motor Company site.
Yeah,
come right down White Street. And then as you pass the Lowenstein Building, Family Trust and Lowenstein
right.
Building, make sure you take a look at the new Cambria Hotel, because it's up.
Yeah.
It is up and will be operational, I think, first part of February.
Yeah.
That's great.
Amazing. Amazing.
All right. Enough of that, because we could go all day about this.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
And let me just say this. This guy probably won't say this, but he was very involved, as hundreds of others were, in what it took over 25 or 30 years to see what's happening right now. It's just amazing. Okay. Manor House. How did you get exposed to Manor House?
Well, when we were in Rock Hill, we were members at First ARP Church downtown, and we had some joint services with Mount Prospect Baptist Church. And through those services, I came to find out about their food pantry. So I, like you, visited there one Saturday, and using the same words you used, was blown away by what they were doing. So I decided to get involved and started volunteering and working there. Moved forward to 2017, April, church, while very hospitable, really needed that space. They couldn't have funerals, they couldn't have weddings, they couldn't have certain things there because of the ministry there. So there was a separate 501c3 formed, and we created Manor House and elected a board of directors. And our first goal was to get a new home.
All right, before we go any further, we got the cart ahead of the horse here. I didn't mean to do that. There's too many people who don't have the slightest idea what Manor House is all about. So take them through that.
Simplest way to say what Manor House is, that it provides a week's worth of groceries free to folks who show up on Saturday morning. And in its simplest form, that's what it is.
Well, let me try to put a little bit more on that. When you finally got me to come down there,
right,
and blown away was exactly the way I felt. There were probably, that Saturday I was there, I'll say 100 families,
right,
who came through various rooms of the church down in the basement level. They were checked in. You had a systematic way of tracking who was coming in. And then they went about their grocery shopping. And in each one of the different rooms, you had different types of food. You had breads in one. You had frozen meats in others. You had whatever, desserts over here. And the list goes on and on.
Right.
And then church members would help these people take the food out to their car and load it, and off they went. Now, how did this start at that church? I mean, how long were they doing it?
It started originally, if I'm not mistaken, in 2006 as a clothes ministry.
Ah.
And then someone came in looking for some food, and it just so happened that they had some canned goods there, and they gave them, and then they started talking, and it became a clothing and food ministry, and then the demand for food became so great, it became strictly a food ministry.
Sure.
And it operated. You talk about that space, but it was a tiny, tiny space.
Oh, yeah. Very tiny.
It was quite a bit of organization to get those folks through. And you're right. There were about anywhere from 100 to 125 people representing families that would come through each Saturday.
Right. Now, Mount Prospect Baptist Church, which is right there at Findlay Road and Black Street.
Right.
They got their food. How do they get their food?
The food, well, let's take a couple of jumps. But anyway, Second Harvest.
Right.
Food bank. Also from various grocery stores. There's a pickup going through some various grocery stores who contribute. Sam's Club and Walmart. We do pickups there. So I mean, it's a variety of sources. Now, let's jump to where we are now.
He's still farting. Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right.
So they bring all this food in.
Right.
And it's sorted out by the volunteers at the church.
Right.
To the different rooms so people know what's what.
Right.
Has the church had to buy, before you moved, did the church have to buy any of this food?
Yeah.
You did for Second Harvest.
The church, yes. The church was and still is a major benefactor to Manor House.
His first ARP assist?
They assist some, but not as much as Mount Prospect is a major benefactor.
Okay. All right.
We're in their budget.
Right. And understand, I don't know how big Mount Prospect is, but it's not a huge church.
No, not at all.
By any means.
Not at all.
But, boy, what a congregation they've got.
Oh, my goodness.
Good
it's
Lord,
just
do this stuff.
Absolutely amazing. It was and still is. It's a seven-day-a-week operation, six-day-a-week operation between, going to the various places, getting the groceries, sorting the groceries, all of those things just don't happen magically.
All right.
And there are some phenomenal volunteers, like Sandra, who couldn't be here today, Sandra Evans, who's our board president. Gloria Robinson is amazing for what she does in terms of organizing volunteers, organizing the food, where it goes, the distribution center, the way it's distributed. It's just fabulous. And she'll die if she's listening to this, that I mentioned her name. But she does a great job.
What was her name?
Gloria Robinson. There we go.
Gloria Robinson. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, Mr. Board of Directors member.
All right.
2017.
Yes.
You formalize yourself. You become a 501c3.
Right.
And your first mission is?
Get a new location.
And you need a new location because?
Well, several reasons. One, we're restricting the church. In damaging the church with all of our activity. And you can't have funerals, you couldn't have weddings on certain days because of all of the activity with that. And so while they were still a major benefactor and weren't pushing us out the door by any wild stretch of the imagination, they wanted us to have a new home. We also felt that we were restricted in the number of folks that we could serve in that particular location. It wasn't very visible. You had to know about it in order to know about it.
Right.
We thought for those reasons that we really needed to find a new home.
All right. So what'd you do? Just start looking around in 2017?
Oh, yeah. We started looking around. It checked out several buildings. And then we found out about the Pathway Center. And we thought, that might work.
And we're going to stop you right there because we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us at your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, Wayne, I just want to see if you remember this, of course. Fresh subs and salads prepared 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical way we do it is in the white letters, and we all say it together at the count of three. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke, those things that are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka, expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
people are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
Want it? Buy it with a credit card from Founders Federal Credit Union. With low rates, no annual fee, and various card options, you can't go wrong. And keeping up with your card activity has never been easier. Simply open Founders online or the Founders app. Visit foundersfcu.com/visa for more information and to apply for a Founders credit card today. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Wayne Wingett is with us today. He's one of the board members of Manna House, which is a grocery ministry to help out people who just don't have food to put on the table. They've been doing this for probably 20 years, close to it. And back in 2017, they formalized their structure, became a 501c3, and the board of directors had a mission to go find a new location because they were absolutely out of room at the Mount Prospect Baptist Church, which is where this all started. So, take us on the journey, buddy. You heard about this thing called Pathways, which was really relatively new at the time you started on your mission.
Yeah, well, let me share one thing first, and that's to talk about the need. Pathways isn't the only ministry that distributes food in the community. Hope does, Pilgrims End. There are a number of people in groups trying to meet the need. But in South Carolina, this is a South Carolina number, one in six children struggle with hunger. It is a huge, huge problem and something we very often don't think about. And I want to bring that to the attention of how serious the problem is.
And thank heavens that the school district has a back-to-pack program to send food home with these kids in their backpacks.
Yes.
You're right. It's a serious problem.
Serious problem. Well, anyway, back in 2017, we found out about Pathways naively. The first time we heard about it was, it's this great place, and we can be in there, and it won't cost us anything. So, little did we know, I met Charles Price, who's the chairman of the board for Pathways, or executive director. I'm not sure what his title is, but anyway, he's the head knocker. So anyway, I met him on the sidelines of a South Carolina football game. And started talking to him, and it was pretty persistent. It took, you know, again, nobody knew about what Pathways was, so I got you and Jim Gill and some folks who were on the board to come and see and witness what we, you know, what was going
Eddie
on.
Eddie Brown.
On there, Eddie Brown. And so, you know, it was, we're ambivalent about you being there, too. You know, when we finally got to the point, it was, we're dying to have you here, when they saw everything we did. But I remember first meeting with Charles and folks on the board, including Eddie. when I finally brought up the issue of cost.
Right.
I said, is this going to cost us anything? Or actually, I think Charles Bay brought it up. I never asked that question. He brought it up. And he said, well, I'm not sure. He said, you know, the renovation of this part up here, I think was the rock or something area, was about $140,000. Said, I think it'd be about $165,000. Brown said he was amazed at how stoic I was and that I didn't pass out. But I knew it was the right place and had faith in God that we were on his mission and doing what he wanted us to do. So we stuck with it. And we continued through the process, you know, negotiating this and that and the other. And then finally it got down to like $65,000 or $70,000. I said, man, that's doable. That's doable. One of our board members had a friend who had been homeless at one time and had a construction company. So he volunteered his labor, and we ended up somewhere around $45,000 to $50,000 that we ended up having to spend to get into the building, all of the upgrades and things that we needed to do. And it was just amazing, you know, how we went from 165 to 45, but really felt God was leading us in that direction. That's what we needed to do and where we needed to be. And then we were very fortunate and blessed to get some grants. Springs gave us a nice grant, you know, because we're expanding the ministry. You know, we needed more refrigeration. We needed more equipment. You know, and as it turned out, when I'll share some numbers in a minute, you know, we needed a forklift, you know, to get the pallets in. I mean, it's, you know, this is, you know, turning quite an operation. So April 1st of this year. Is that right?
That's correct. 2020.
Yeah. We got in, which was almost 3 years to the date of when we set our goal to be in a new building. We gave ourselves 3 years to find a new location. But, of course, then the COVID's going on. So, you know, that had to change operations because we couldn't have people coming in, you know, with our original plan and coming in and picking out their groceries and this kind of thing. So we ended up, you know, bagging groceries. You know, the cars come through the parking lot in the back of the Pathways Center. Volunteers load them in their car. They still get, you know, fresh fruits, frozen meat, and those kinds of things. Those aren't in the prepackaged bags, but they still get a week's worth of food, although they don't pick it out themselves
right.
any longer. But when we first opened, as I said, we were doing 110 to 125 families each week. We were serving, I think our first week was 140 in the new location, and it has grown to, you know, it was like 180, and I kept telling Sandra, we're going to hit 200, we're going to hit 200. Then, yeah, we hit 200, we hit 214, then we hit 250, hit 275. And then the Saturday before Thanksgiving, we served 314 families on that day. And our expectation is that we're probably, at least, you know, through the COVID and folks are back to work, we're gonna be running probably close to that 300 families every week that we will be providing groceries for.
Well, that's quite a story. And I know that when you talked about the renovation you had to do,
right,
a lot of that had to do because you have so many refrigerators.
Oh, gosh. Electrical.
The electrical was a big
was
part
huge,
of that.
Huge cost for redoing the electrical to handle all of those refrigerators, and massive refrigerators and freezers. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, we get all of this food in, and you stock it all on Friday. Monday morning, they're empty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's amazing how much food goes out of there on Saturday morning.
Well, it's all ties in with, I had Kate Carter on here from Second Harvest just a week ago.
Yeah.
And the statistic that she threw out just blew me away, that between March and the end of November, they've had to put 16 million more pounds of food into this region, into her region.
Yeah.
And it's not because of more agencies. Mm. No. It's all because of the demand.
Yeah.
The second thing she pointed out, Second Harvest gets a lot of its food, 70% of their food, from grocery stores.
Right?
Well, they can't get it from grocery stores because they ain't got enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that affecting you? Is it?
Well, we've been able to get what we need. You know, when we had 314 families, we fed every one of them. Every one of them got some kind of poultry. They either got a turkey or they got a hen. I mean, they got, we did have enough for that. We didn't have enough for turkey for everybody.
Yeah.
So we so far have been blessed that we've had that. Now, the other thing that we've done is that we've become a part of a federal program called TFAT.
Okay.
And they provide dry goods. And it's a lot more. We're all volunteers. Everybody that works for Manor House is a volunteer.
Right.
And so that added a layer of bureaucracy, and we have to keep that food separate. But nevertheless, that provides us with another source of food in addition to Second Harvest for us to get food.
Now, dry goods, you're talking about what? Canned goods primarily.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, Wayne, somebody's listening to this show. Is hungry.
Yep.
And they want to get into the Manor House queue.
Right.
What do they do? Just show up?
Show up.
That's all I have to do.
Show up. There'll be a little bit of paperwork. More now that we're with TFATS, but very, you know, not much paperwork at all. We do want folks to have a place to live. Because homeless people don't have a refrigerator and a place to cook and that kind of thing. However, with the is it still called the Rock there?
No, the Hope Center.
Hope Center. They're in the same building. We do prepare bags for walk-ups. People who are homeless, people at the Hope Center, and they'll come up and we'll have 20 or 25 of those folks on Saturday mornings. Who will just walk up and we'll give them a bag of foods you don't have to cook. How's that?
Yeah.
You know, already prepared things.
Oh, my. So, well, it's a fabulous story. Thank you for what you and the church and all the board members are doing. As you say, it's all volunteer power, which is exactly the way most of Pathways is operated, all by volunteer power. And it's just a great community we live in that can help to answer these needs, and they're just going to grow. As this population continues to grow. So, Wayne, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Manny.
I hope you drop by again.
I will.
Next time you're in town.
I will.
Always good to see you. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. My thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, one more time, we want to remind everybody that we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. The magical way we do it, so we're all going to bell it out together at the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.